Good afternoon, everybody. Today, we welcome Venerable Kai Chen to give us the Dharma teaching. Venerable Kai Chen received his Dongshe in 1999 by Senior Venerable Se Fun Tian, and then proceeded to receive his higher ordination in the same year under Vinaya Preceptor Senior Venerable Dao Ai. In year 2000, Venerable enrolled in a Buddhist college in Taiwan and graduated in year 2004. Upon graduation, he helped to serve the Buddhist college by overseeing the students' affairs from year 2004 to year 2007. Thereafter, Venerable continues to serve in different Buddhist organizations. Let's welcome Venerable Kai Chen.
Namo Buddhaya, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been invited, okay, by Venerable Chuan Guan and his group of, this is called the Little Dao, Spiritual Group Cultivation, okay, to give a talk. Initially, my talk was supposed to be conducted in Chinese, but the host told me that, okay, there are a few venerables who have actually given the talk in Chinese, so asked me to, you know, to speak to all of you in English so that, you know, I'm able to better relate to a group of audience which may be wider than the audience for the Chinese Dharma talk. All right. So today I am going to give a talk on the cultivational practices, all right, how we should go in, all right. It should not be a talk that talks a lot about this Buddhist jargons or terminology, but to share with you that how you should progress, all right, on this road of practices, not forgetting that the primary teachings of the tenets, okay, by the Lord Buddha itself, the four noble truths. Okay, and in correlation with the Noble Eightfold Path, all right? So now, before we start, we have to take refuge in the Buddha, in the Dharma, and in the Sangha, and together as a congregation, as a whole, if you would see the Dharma, whiteboard in front, shall we all read in English the three refuge? One, two, three. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. I take refuge in the Buddha, the one who shows me the way in this life. I take refuge in the Dharma, the way of understanding and of trueness. I take refuge in the Sangha, the community that lives in harmony and awareness. Okay, we shall start with the opening verse. One, two, three. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dharma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of eons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata true meaning. We shall recite the Mangala Sutta. Thus have I heard on one occasion, the exotic one was dwelling at the monastery of Anatta Pitika in Jetta Grove near Savatthi. Now, when the night was far spent, a certain deity whose surpassing splendor illuminated the entire Jetta Grove came to the presence of the exalted ones and, drawing near, respectfully saluted him and stood at one side. Standing thus, he addressed the exalted one in verse, many deities and men, yearning after good, have pondered on blessings. Pray, tell me the highest blessing. And the Buddha replied, not to associate with the fools, to associate with the wise, and to honor who are worthy of honor. To reside in a suitable locality, to have done meritorious actions in the past, and to set oneself in the right course. Vast learning, perfect handicraft, a highly trained discipline, and pleasant speech.
This is the highest blessing. This is the highest blessing.
To support mother and father, to cherish the cherishing of wife and children, and peaceful occupation.
This is the highest blessing.
Liberty, righteous conduct, the helpings of relatives, and blameless actions.
This is the highest blessing.
To cease and abstain from evil, forbearance with respect to insubstance, and steadfast in virtue.
This is the highest blessing.
Reverence, humility, contentment, gratitude, and opportune hearing of the Dharma.
This is the highest blessing.
Patience, obedience, sight of the monks, and religious discussion at due season.
This is the highest blessing.
Self-control, holy life, perception of the noble truth, and the realization of Nibbana.
This is the highest blessing.
He whose mind does not flatter by contact with worldly contingency, sorrowless, stainless, and secure.
This is the highest blessing.
To them, fulfilling matters such as these, everywhere invisible, in everywhere moving happily. Thank you very much. So now we shall talk about the different stages on cultivation. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, as you have known, that to conduct is the so-called Dharma talk, okay, in English, is never an easy task. Okay, basically, as we have gone, as I have, you know, started with, is with Hindu Mahayana Buddhism, and my context, okay, came in with the Mahayana Buddhism in Chinese. So it has never been easy, okay, for me to speak to all of you and to share with all of you how the talk should be conducted in English because of the terminology, okay, within the Chinese contact itself. All right. So now we talk about this different stages of cultivation. If you were to read, okay, as we hear the Dharma teachings from a master, okay, and you will see truly comprehend them through further thinking and practice, a faith to the way will be actually generated. All right. Do you understand about this? Okay, then from there, I have to give you a brief introduction here. Then after that, I will go into the four different stages. But primarily, I will deal on one aspect, and that is faith. All right? The faith that is important. Then after the faith, there comes the understanding. Okay, with the understanding that is being set in place and set in motion, then it's easier for one to go into the action of it. And through the actions of the practices, then one will go into the realization of the way. And that's where, you know, we talk about Arahantship, we talk about the Mahayana 52 stages, all right? The Mahayana, the 10 levels of it, how we go through it. All right. So advancing further, as what I've said here, we will be able to develop a deep understanding of the way. Thereafter, in this way, the harmonious union of our life and the way occurs is called action. All right, the action is important. All right, but basically, it is very important that the understanding is there, the right understanding. All right, if the right understanding is there, in the end, okay, you will be able to succeed within this lifetime or in a few lifetimes to come. But however, if the right understanding is not in place, all right, then it may require you to take a long time. Okay, for many billion years to come, if your understanding is not there, then no doubt the so-called cultivation would be good, but it may be fertile in certain sense towards your path to enlightenment. All right, so this is very important. We must have that understanding. But before understanding set in, we have to talk about faith. So if faith, understanding, action, and realization, so to go to it, what do you understand about these four words in Chinese? Can you tell me, anyone in the congregation here? Yeah, this is what we call the Xing Jie Xing Sen. All right. I'm not going to fill with, as I said earlier, I'm not going to fill all of you with a lot of jargons, but to tell you how we should progress. All right. What is more important is the faith, the understanding that you need to know. All right. As for the actions, you have to depend on yourself, on your understanding of the Buddha Dharma itself, and on your so-called, how your karmic actions, how you actually perform more wholesome karmic actions, how to eradicate and eliminate the unwholesome actions. And that will be the area. And from there, and how you realize the path. For that, I have yet to realize into the Sage-Tree path yet. So I may not be able to tell you, but through your good roots, through your understanding, all right, it will be beneficial. Of course, this has to be done by the empowerment of the Triple Gem, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Holy Sangha. Right? Now we talk about the right faith. Right faith, can this be written? Can be written. Faith, we talk about faith. Okay, the faith can be divided into two sections, all right, two sections of it, known as right faith, okay, or can you read it? Those around me, can you see it? Can you read it? Is it stronger? Oh, sorry, my word seems to be very ugly. Can I erase it?
Erase the one on the...
Can you come and teach me? I am not very good in using this. Yeah, which one is it?
This one.
This is an eraser. Oh, half. Okay. It belongs to two sections. Two sections. Then we have to talk about the right faith. Or rather, we know as the faith, the inner faith, which have a okay, if the faith that you have supposed to be generated, that you have the proper the right faith in it, all right, then as you go along, it will be good. But if the faith that is known as missing, as you go along with it, then you may not see the fruit of success easily within this few lifetime or for many lifetimes to come. So this is especially important that, okay, some of them will be very emotional. They have emotional beliefs, all right? They are into superstitions, okay? So right faith itself, if you produce a right faith in you, you know, then of course, slowly and surely, you will progress on the path of enlightenment or the Sage-Tree path. But if the faith that is being generated is known as earth faith, then that will put you in the cycle of samsara. All right? We call the cycle of samsara, I think, as Buddhists, you know about it. That will go through life and death, life and death. So that, okay, is the difference between what is right faith and faith that is not right. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? Thank you very much. All right. Yeah. Then we have to talk about even when, okay, even when you are practicing the Four Noble Truths, you have an understanding of the Fourth Noble Truth known as the truth of suffering, the truth of the cause of suffering, the truth of the end of suffering, and the truth of the path leading to the end of suffering. Okay, by practicing that, the Noble Eightfold Path, or by practicing the Noble Eightfold Path, your afflictions do not seem to have lessened. Your wisdom does not seem to have increased over the time. All right. Then that is saying, that is to say that you're still you're on the so-called a path that is may not be very right. Okay? It is still on the right path, all right? But the faith that being generated is not the right faith. The path is right, but the faith is not right. So it will hinder you. So even you have wrong in the right directions, it will not bring you, or it will not elevate your spirituality as well as your wisdom. This is something that you have to know, all right? There may be a few teachers here, there may be a few professors teaching here, you should know that. If you do not apply the right technique to teaching your students, then you can't bring forth the young of today for the future of tomorrow. Am I right to say that? So during the past, the teachers had this conviction in them to teach the best and to bring out the best. But how many of them can they bring out the best? Only by applying the technique, and it's the same thing. All right, the same thing that in practicing Buddhism, you must produce the right faith. You must not be superstitious. If it's superstitious, then that's it. Your effort, you put in a lot of effort, but it is futile at the end of it. Is it worthwhile? All right. So in this way, that's what we say that, okay, because from your understanding of Buddhism itself, it does not elevate because you are only talking in the form of language. You know, we speak about language to you now. We talk to you what is language all about. And in the form of sound teaching, you hear what I say. But yourself, you do not have the fortitude, all right, the perseverance, the determination to further it by controlling your body, your speech, and your mind. All right? If I were to ask you, how do you find this Saha world? Is it an enjoyable place to stay? For many of you, you would think that it's enjoyable because, you know, I have a family, I'm happily married, I have children, I have grandchildren, I have probably, all right? I'm related to the royal family or I'm related to the Holy Sangha. But you do not know that in this Sangha world is a place for you, okay, to further your practices. You do not know that it is important to uphold the five precepts so that in many other lifetimes to come, you can become mend and you can get in contact with Buddhism. You are just enjoying the life that you're having now. And succumb yourself to sensory pleasure. And this sensory pleasure, if uncontrolled and not having the right faith and the determination to see them as something dangerous or rather poisonous, you may not know that you have slipped into decadence. You get what I mean? So it is important that at this point of time that you develop the right faith by upholding the five precepts. Knowing what the five, and what I mean is, you must know what are the five precepts and what are the effects and what are the results that comes out of the five precepts. All right? If you do it well, you become the human. If you further uphold the five precepts into ten wholesome actions, you will be born in the heaven. Okay, but again, these are good reborn or reincarnations. But you have forgotten that when you are born into the heaven, you are enjoying the happiness of it, being bestowed the bliss and the blessings. But you know not that one day you are still subjected to samsara. That is when your so-called lifespan is up. Within the heaven realm itself, you will still have to come down. And I've told some of my students before, you will not come down as humans. For your information, you will go to the three lower realms. So having the right faith is right, but you must coupled with the right faith, you must have the right understanding. If you don't have the right understanding, all right, you are just wasting your life away, reborn in the heaven, then after that, go into the realm of suffering. That would not be worthwhile. So, in this case, am I right to say that there are still a lot of people being entangled within the web or the nets of deception? That they do not have the right understanding and thinking that if they were to go for the five precepts, they reborn in heaven or as human rights, that would be good. What if you are reborn in the human realm and you are born in Africa? Or a place where there's no Buddhism? Then, what will happen? So, with the right faith, the right understanding, you have to make the vows of it. So you have to contemplate, okay? I've been a monk for many years. I have told my students that, okay, I'm sorry. It's a statement, it is an arrogant statement made. I've been a monk for a couple of years, not many years, all right? So from now it's about 22 years. I've told my students before that, you know what? For the 22 years, I have wasted 15 years of my life as a sangha. By not doing anything productive to myself and to the sentient beings. For the 15 years, I have, you know, disappointed the Lord Buddha, who is my dear father and my teacher. For the 15 years, you know, thereafter, you know, of course, during that period of time, I fell down eagerly. With the empowerment of the Triple Gem, I slowly pick myself up. All right? So within this time, I have encountered the vicissitudes of life as a sangha, but not as a human being. Not as a lay person. All right? As a sangha. And you know how? I have faith, my faith, when I wanted to be a monk or enter into the sanghahood, it has been right. But over time, as I went in, because of arrogance, I have wrong on my path and developed a wrong faith in it. Knowing that, okay, I am the son of the Buddha, you know, I will be free from the so-called unwholesome actions that will result in unwholesome karma. So for that, I have to suffer. And from there, I learn. All right? So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do not be like me. You must learn the right way. You must know the genuine way to Buddhahood. All right? This is very important. Don't waste your life to win. All right? To me now, I may not look young, I may not look old, but I think I do not have much time left. So given this time for me to tell you, it is because you must have the Dharma within you and the self-belief that you can do it. You understand, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, good. So then we shall contemplate that never take yourself for granted. You must tread on this path in a manner that you will have to eat every day. You must have the ways of doing your homeworks, every day. Though we say that you may have the right understanding in future, you do not need, but these are the expedience means that will elevate your spiritual merits, your fields of merits to a higher level. All right? So now, talk about it. We must always have a right faith. Right faith generate to know about the Buddha itself. All right, the Buddha. How would I say that? You know the Buddha, they have the 10 names of the Buddha. You know that? You know the 10 names of the Buddha? What are the 10 names? First, what are they? The task comes one. Yes, Ru Lai. Number two, what is it? In Gong, one worthy of suffering. One worthy of offering. Sorry. Okay, what else? Huh? One who has a proper and universal knowledge. Okay, what else? This one can still go further now.
Okay.
We don't talk about second understanding. What else? Ming Xing Zhu talks about what? Clarity in? No. Ru Lai Ying Gong Zheng Pian Zi Ming Xing Zhu. One who is perfect in the clarity, clarity in practice. Then what else? This is C. Okay, five is what? San Shi. Well gone. One who has the unsurpassed ones who understands the world very well. Okay, we call the unsurpassed. Okay. And what else? Ru Lai Ying Gong Zheng Pian Zi Ming Xing Zhu San Shi Shi Jian Jie Wu Shang Shi Hero. Okay. Then 还有呢? 天人师. We talk about 天人师, right? 天人师 is teacher of God in heaven. Yeah, you're right. Human, okay. Is a teacher of gods and humans. What else? Alright, so the Buddha encompasses the so-called the 10 titles of this. So in that sense that he will generate a very pretty, divine and pure wholesome action. The wisdom, the kindness, the patience and the generosity, all these virtues that it generates is worthy for what you are supposed to learn from him. That you must hold in great faith that he will be the one that will be able to guide you out of this samsara. Just like a teacher who is able to guide his so-called level students that is she or he is teaching into performing well. All right? If the student is not able to perform well, then that student may be lacking in his studies, or he may not have the aptitude to study well and good. So in this case, these are the important virtues, and expounding on the virtues of the Lord Buddha itself, you all must try to follow him, just like me, who have not been following the virtue of him for the past 15 years. Thereafter, because of the many so-called, okay, impermanence, you know, phenomena that happens in life, that prompted me that there's a need for me to have to ingrain my faith in the Triple Gem deeply. And this virtue by the Lord Buddha is especially accentuated by the conduct that you must take refuge in the Three Refuge. That is the refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha. By taking refuge in the Buddha, you must not take refuge in any of the others, gods or devis or devas. You must believe in him. This is very important. The faith that you must have in the Buddha must be there. And by the faith that you take refuge in the Dharma, You must not read other texts other than the text of the Buddha itself. Even if you were to read other texts, the text itself must have some correlation to Buddhism, and you will use it for reference. And if you were to take refuge in the Sangha, you must not take refuge in others' so-called, you know, personnel like Bumisarang, you know, the Saitama or something like this, or any of the so-called externalists. You must have faith in the Holy Sangha. Talk about that, you must have faith in the Holy Sangha, and the Holy Sangha itself must be capable of teaching you. More often than not these days, more often than not these days, I would like to reiterate on this. The Holy Sangha, all right, some of them are not doing what they're supposed to do, to dwell into the Dharma treasury. Thereby, they are not able to teach the populace or the population as a whole going into the right direction. They have mingled with some of the Taoism rites and rituals, knowledge. And this is not right when we say we have to take refuge in the Dharma. In the Dharma proper age, you know, where the monks or the Holy Sangha, they were very steadfast in their cultivations and in their virtues, Buddhism prospered. Then we talk about the Dharma semblance age. Then we have come to the Dharma ending age, where I don't see a lot of Holy Sangha dwell deeply in the Dharma treasury. And this is especially pain to see that Buddhism itself has gone into sort of downfall. But we talk about causes and conditions. It has to happen. But what I'm lamenting that I do recognize that through these causes and conditions, we are going into the Dharma ending age. And these are what is happening. But why can't some of the Holy Sangha dwell in the Dharma treasury, you know, and bring this so-called Dharma knowledge, which are as Dharma knowledge, which is so precious and so useful to sentient beings so that they can learn, you know. Other than I see your teacher, Hong Kong Fasu, has been doing a good job. Chuan Ren Fasu, Ding Rong Fasu, Chuan Xian Fasu. Okay, talk about these few monks. They have put in their effort, okay? Chuan Ren Fasu may not propagate a lot about Dharma, but he has get them to meditate, teaching them meditation, explaining to them, putting so-called the action, you know, so-called the action, the right action, into motion, which is good. Then I have seen people like Chuan Ren Fasu teaching a group of students and bringing up them well, all right? This is pretty evident, you see, as we can see from the Facebook, all right? From words of mouth. So in this case, I would like to tell all of you that, okay, your faith has to be generated. Once the faith has been generated, you have to have absolute faith in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Thereafter, you have to have faith that the Triple Gem will empower you to have a great understanding of the Dharma itself. And because of this so-called great understanding that you have for the Dharma itself, the faith is there, you are able to deliver yourself and the people around you out of suffering. You may be happy at this moment, but you may not know impermanence when it sets in. It can bring you, all right, the so-called the killing effect that makes you can't even sit still for a while. Usually when, you know, you think that you may be doing well at this moment, later, just a few words from the two of you, all right, or three of you, is enough to kill the person in front here. by letting him. How does he kill? You know, by killing his mind so that he can't, you know, think properly, he will dwell on what they are saying. So in this case, if you do not have the right faith, the understanding, or the right faith, you think that the Buddha is not able to deliver you out of these consequences, so-called, you know, what you're experiencing right now. You think you cannot, then you will just be miserable for the next few days until the whole thing is solved. And how you expect the whole thing to be solved, it can never be solved if you do not solve the problem itself. So having the faith in the Buddha, then thereafter we have the understanding of it, then we can, you know, help ourselves. By helping out ourselves, from there, as we learn how to so-called get our affliction out, kill our afflictions, have a mental mind frame that we are solving the problems, only then can we help other people. And helping other people, other sentient beings other than yourself is important. You should not say that, okay, I don't even think I can help myself. Why should I be helping other people? You're wrong. In Mahayana Buddhism, the essence of Mahayana Buddhism is that you should deliver sentient beings from suffering rather than to focus your points on being a Buddha. Do you understand, class? I don't know, do you understand? Is anyone who don't understand? Anyone here who doesn't understand, can you put up your hands? What I say? Okay. All right. I hope it is not monotonous to the point that puts you to sleep, but it is something that you have to know what is the different stages of cultivation, how to develop the right faith. All right, in events from right faith, we have to go into right understanding. That is to have the understanding, 性解嘛,解. Then you must talk about right view. Right view, okay. Right view is, what do you say that, right? What is about right view? Right view, when we talk about right view, it means an understanding that our actions have consequences. All right, then once that I was... Once that our action has consequences, okay, if you, for example, okay, the consequences may be severe, but if you think that death can solve the problem, then you are very wrong. Death itself cannot solve, it's not the end of your actions or the actions that you have done that produce the consequences. You bring it to the other lifetime. So having the right view about the consequences of what you're doing through your actions, this is very important. All right? So do not think that by your mind itself, by your consciousness itself, you just think, oh, you're going to do something not right, unwholesome. It won't produce the unwholesome actions. By inside your mind. Many people will think that, oh, by inside my mind, okay, these two persons, okay, they are speaking behind my back. They are tarnishing my reputation. I wish that they disappear from the earth itself. Okay, by just having these thoughts, you are planting the seeds of unwholesome action into you. So that is why when you meditate, you are supposed to level your mind, not to agitate your mind, so that when you meditate, you are able to purify your body, speech, and mind. But if you do not have this right faith in a triple gem in first place, and right understanding that stabling your mind will negate the unwholesome actions that you have done, producing the unwholesome consequences, and how, you tell me? So, in this case, having the right view, it is of importance that you should be very aware of the actions that you are doing. All right. If you are not aware of the actions that you are doing now, all right, then you will not have a successful exit from this world. You will go to the realms of the suffering and you will suffer there as a consequences. If your actions itself are wholesome and produce wholesome consequences, then your realms will be to the heavenly realms. And who knows, if you are doing the Buddha recitation and bringing the vows to be born in the Amitabha Pure Land, then you will be born in the Pure Land, not of Amitabha, but of other Buddhas as well. So in this case, all right, we have to know, okay? We have to witness as a Buddhist how we witness a wonderful change in a person by seeing his action, whether does he have the right faith, the right understanding, so on and so forth. So we shall rest for a minute or so, for another 15 minutes at 2:30 will come. So later, if you have any question, please ask me. I have to ask them how to write because the writing is terrible. All right, thank you. Right, thank you very much. Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya. Please rise and go and help yourself for a while. Okay, the darkest moment of my life. Okay, everybody have their darkest moments. It may not be one moment, it may be other few moments. All right? Throughout the years of my tour as a Sangha, I have learned to, you know, have proper faith, deep ingrained faith in the Triple Gems. So ever, whenever my darkest moments appear, I always have faith in the Triple Gem. It is never easy to have this faith in the Triple Gem, because why? At the point of time when your affliction strikes you, okay, when everything in the world comes tumbling down, you must not think of a method. First, you must not think of anything, but just to have the faith that the Triple Gem will guide you, will empower you. All right? With the faith that comes in, you have for that, it will work wonders by the Triple Gem. We are not talking about superstitious, but after that, during that darkest moment, you must also bring forth the so-called, okay, the so-called repentance. You have to repent for your unwholesome actions, so that at the point of time, when you do that repentance, it will elevate you to a higher plane of your repentance and bring you to the road of repentance by saving you up from that darkest moment. This is especially important. But if your faith is not there, you don't even think of the Triple Gem. You just think, how should I get out of this predicament, of this darker moment, then seeking help from the devis, the divas, or the so-called supernatural beings in power to help you to elevate, to take you out of the darkest moments. Not considering that the Buddha is your guide at all times. The Triple Gem will be your guide. So this is especially important that you have to strengthen your faith, all right? So now when we talk about that, we talk about Ananda. Ananda, okay, the Buddha asked Ananda, okay, Ananda, why do you wish to enter into the order of the Sangha? And you know what Ananda said? Ananda said that, okay, because of your 32 signs and your 80 secondary characteristics, all this goodness when I contemplate makes me want to go into the monkhood. Because the faith that he has for the Lord Buddha itself brings him into the monkhood. So this is very, very strong faith that he has developed. Thus, he was able to be the male, the attendant to the Lord Buddha through later years. Then after that, he also says that because of your golden hue body, in the 紫摩精神, you know, the golden body, then the so-called the aura that he emits is so positive, the energy is so strong, it's filled with goodness, it's purity divine. that brings him in into Buddhism and into monkhood. So, all right, now if we are able to smash the nets of stupid superstitions and to aspire to know the goodness of the Lord Buddha and how he attained all this goodness and its manifestation of how we help the sentient beings, you will have absolute faith in him. Thus, it is always important that we go to the triple gem for refuge, all right? And to establish the faith, okay, establishing the faith, then there are things that you need to make sure that this faith itself is impeccable, indestructible. There are four things that you have to always have that in mind, called the Si, the four indestructible faith. You know what is it called in Chinese? I think some of you have seen. Do you know what is it? If we were to talk to about the Samyutta Agama in the text number 30, it talks about this faith that you must have because of the stages of cultivation that have to go. You must have this faith. What are the four of them? Where is that four of them? Okay, this faith. Okay. The faith is the four indestructible faith, okay, that you must have known as the Chatu Dharma Pariyayam. The four kind of indestructible faith is the faith in the Buddha, the faith in the Dharma, the faith in the Holy Sangha, and the faith in the precepts. All right? Okay, faith in the Buddha and in the Dharma, okay, of course, they're primary. Okay, but faith in the precepts is equally important because by knowing the precepts, by doing what is not wholesome, okay, you are giving rise yourself to a proper platform for you to further develop your faith, and that anything that comes along the way will not strike. Just like what I say earlier on, that people during their darkest moment of life, all right, during their darkest moment of life, if, for example, the faith in the triple gem is never stable, they will seek help from externalists and wanting externalists to help them. All right. Oh, yeah. Talk about that. I have encountered that before. Okay. When my faith, when I reach the darkest moment of life, I do seek help. But it was very, very not common for me to do that. But at one time, I think that was about 9 years ago, I did seek help. Not from externalists, but within the Buddhist order itself. But it is not considered to be, it is considered to be pretty proper. But yet, after thinking of it, I think it was not proper because if I do not establish the fourth, the faith in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, and the precept itself, or the pillar of faith itself, that will it will never destruct my pillar of faith and the strength of faith of the Dharma itself. All right, it will not do that. I wouldn't have asked him to help me if my faith at the time was indestructible. Probably it was a bit destructible, but in the end, I have asked him to help. Later in life, as in 2005 onwards, actually before that, I'm dwelling in the Dharma since 2009, but the faith on the Buddha itself, on the Dharma itself, and the Sangha itself, and on the precept itself, started between 2014 and 2015. All right. So when I did that, okay, I did that. I felt a bit of remorse too because why did I not trust the Buddha? Because at that point of time, why I did that? Because I have asked the Buddha to empower me, but it did not happen. So by not happening, I was thinking, I cannot see the result. How? You know, how I have tried my method of prostrating and getting some of my prayers answered. 当然是说, 你要无所求的去做，不是有所求. But at that point of time, I'm still afflicted by the worldly afflictions. So at that point of time, again, my pillar of faith was a bit shakable. So thereafter, after I've come in contact with certain school of thoughts, and I have come to know that the pillar of faith is very important. So I subscribe to this four pillar of faith known as the four indestructible faith that I must encompass myself to follow it. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen? All right. Then after that, only when you have this four indestructible faith, then you can say that you possess the right faith. All right. But if you don't, if you don't, then I must tell you that once this four faith has been established, then no one can destroy your faith in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and the precepts. Nobody can destroy this faith, and you will have complete faith in the Triple Gem. Not even when we say devas or devis, gods and men, kings and courtiers, can destroy this. You will not be moved even then if you were to go into the darkest moment of your life. All right. So this four indestructible faith is very important, that you must be strong. If not, even though you say that you may have taken refuge in the Buddha and the Dharma, your faith can be destroyed anytime. If you were to encounter the vicissitudes of life, which can be pretty overbearing. All right. With this four faith, even you encounter the worst of the worst, you have that conviction that you have the proper faith in the Buddha, in the Dharma, in the Sangha, and the precepts, all right, it will tide you over gracefully. You will see how the Triple Gem works wonders on you and how your faith that is instructable will read, even when you are maligned, even when you are being accused. Over the time you just have the faith, it will go over. But of course, at the point of time, you must always observe your body, speech, and mind, especially your speech and your mind. Because why? Your mind will generate those unhappy thoughts. You may want the revenge. You may wish that the person is not good. So at the point of time, when the mind starts to act and the speech itself comes out from your mouth and you tell people and that's it, you are creating negative karma for yourself. So at that point, if you have complete faith in the Triple Gem, just follow what the Buddha has taught you. All right? You must remember that. Follow what the Buddha has taught you. Keep your mouth closed. Stabilize your mouth. Just endure the accusation, the malign, and everything will go well with you and you will be rewarded. The reward will not manifest within 1 year, 1 month, half a year. It may manifest and give you a clearance to your name for about 2 years or 3 years to come, or maybe 1 year. Do not expect it to be overnight. So during that period of time when you have the faith is indestructible, you continue to do your cultivations. And this is how you repent and how your spiritual merits gain. All right? And that is where the empowerment of the Triple Gem comes in and work wonders on you. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen? All right. So in this way, you're able to tread on the path of Nibbana, provided you have the four indestructible faith. All right. This is very important. All right. Then in your lifetime, okay, in the lifetime, we talk about this. Okay, we have in the faith in the Buddha, in the Dharma, in the Sangha, because they are three in one entity, right? One entity itself. The Buddha itself, okay, as we have the Dharma, then after that, we have the Sangha. The Buddha, in his lifetime as Prince Siddhartha, during Prince Siddhartha, he enjoyed the sensory pleasures by having the what he wants. He has the power, all right, he has the position, he has the wealth, he has the riches, okay, of what he wants, or what he wanted. But you see, his motive was one kind to pursue towards Buddhahood after the four sights that he has seen. Am I right to say that? We talk about this first. All right. So, and one thing is that all beings, he contemplates that for one reason, why he wants to do that and to be a Buddha, because of his, of course, we talk about cause and effect, it's because of the cause and effect. Secondly, because of his great bodhicitta, but his great compassion, he want to deliver sentient beings from suffering. So to do that, okay, he knows that all sentient beings, being you, being me, being others, being this and that, they possess the Buddha nature. And all of us, all right, in 10 or more later, will become Buddha in many lifetimes to come. But I don't know how to say in which lifetime, but many lifetimes to come. Am I right? Yeah. So because of that, he veered towards the path of enlightenment and become Buddha Shakyamuni, right? Am I right? So in that case, he brings forth his compassion, his pity on us that we are suffering essentially, his mercy, so his Da Si Da Bei for the sentient beings. Then his compassion and his grace and his pity is not only directed to the sentient beings of this so-called Dissaha world, it is directed to the entire cosmos or the universe itself. To see, that is to see how great the compassion, all right, the Buddha has. Be it whether the sentient being has affinity or no affinity. So when we say about Tong Ti Da Bei, means compassion for the sentient being is spread evenly, not only for the Saha world where he teach, where he taught, where he manifested, but for the beings of the 10 directions. That's why they say that the Shakyamuni Buddha has many different bodies and different many manifestations in a billion form, not million, but in a billion form. So he can go to other, okay, universe to teach and deliver sentient beings, not in the Buddha form, but maybe in man's form, housewife form, children form, Sangha form, goddess form, God's form, or any other forms. So you see, the Buddha itself is so compassionate that he has no segregation. But me, we as Sangha, we have segregations because we have not entered into the sage path yet. So of course we have our likes and dislikes. But knowing that as a Sangha, we should know that we have segregation and we must work towards non-segregations of likes and dislikes for sentient beings. So can you see the difference between the Lord Buddha itself, the Holy Sangha, and the lay followers, the difference? We try as Holy Sangha, try to have no segregations. But at times, when we just feel that we are overly sensitive, then we just feel that we are not able to control, we just let out. But after letting out, okay, we know what we have done. We bring it back to ourselves, tell ourselves that next time when such thing happens, we must be careful. And when this, you have to make sure that during your cultivation, when such thing happens, when you get into a range, you must know the range is coming up in you. Then you must try to control it. And how you control it? You must cultivate. You must do your homework. It is when you do your homework, you calm your mind is down, is clear, is calm. Then only when the range comes up, you can see the range coming up and stop it. It is never easy. It is never easy. It does not take you one time for you to rage. It may take you a 3-4 times for you to rage until the 5th time you are successful in controlling it. So do not see the Holy Sangha, okay, as that we must be like the Lord Buddha itself. So divine, so purity divine. No, we are learning to be like the Lord Buddha, but we are not the Lord Buddha. You get what I mean, ladies and gentlemen? So in this case, we also must have about the, you know, how great the Buddha is. He's completely selfless, he's completely pure, and he's completely divine. And of course, he is completely so-called, when we say that he's great, right? He's waked up. Very waked up. You know, you see, when you cultivate, all right, when your so-called the spiritual merits goes up, all right, it's like a scale, the scales of your unwholesome actions or your negative karma goes down. So once it goes up, all right, at this point of time, once this goes up, all right, it's like this, it's never like this. Once this goes up, this will go down. This goes up. So when the spiritual merits, right, when you do yourself well, you cultivate well, all right, when you look at the Lord Buddha and his teaching and what he has done for us, and he allowed us to aspire to be like him, you will shed tears. You know, tears of being gratitude that how he is so selfless, but we can't see because we are humans. We are being blinded by our body, speech, and mind, the defilements of our body, speech, and mind. That's why you cannot never feel the greatness of the triple jhana of the Buddha itself and the Buddha of the 10 direction. Not don't talk about the Buddha, even the Pusa, the Bodhisattvas of the 10 direction and how they have aspired to help us. But we just don't know, but they do help us. All right, we're not talking, I'm not talking about Theravada, I'm talking about Mahayana, from the Mayan text. All right. Then maybe now we were able to share a minute glimpse. Okay, when your cultivation reach a higher level, okay, a higher level, then you are able to, what are you able to do? You're able to fathom, okay, how he has encompassed your life and how you like to be like him. So after you have seen the greatness, the most compassion side, the most merciful side of the triple gem of the Lord Buddha himself, your mind itself will be somehow careful, somehow being controlled. Then you are able, because of that goodness in you, you are able to bring forth this mind to treat other people whom you think that they are an eyesore to you, will be filled with compassion with you. Then after that, you will just, at that point of time, when you feel that you don't have those anger and hatred, you can go there and talk to him, which you will never talk to him at any point of time, because you will never like him. Because you are blinded by your hatred. You can't see them. All right? So the faith that you have for the Buddha, then after have this destructible faith and you continue to cultivate, and that is where you become more forgiving. As a Buddhist, you have to be more forgiving. But forgiving in a way that, you know, where your wisdom dictates you, not where your intelligence or your emotion dictates you. I suppose all of you here, you have people that you don't like, right? Am I right to say that? You have people that you don't like. So when people that you don't like, how would you deal with them? All right? Simple. You wish them that they will disappear from this world. No, we are talking about the truth. We don't talk about untrue things. That's why I never like to use pretty much jargons. You will wish that they disappear from this earth. So what if they disappear from this earth? Yes, they will be gone. But do you think their affliction has become lesser? No. You think that because of these enemies that have gone out, no other people will come? They will come in place. And even worse than these two. I can tell you that. All right? You know how I knew about this? I remember in 2002, while I was a student, of course, we have our likes and dislikes, you know? Then there are a few gossip mongrels, you know? Gossip mongrels. So I was telling one of my Dharma brothers, a Dharma so-called student, we are students, we are Dharma siblings within the Holy Sangha. It's pretty irritating. I hope that the school will ask them to go. We hope that within our congregation it will be peace. And you know what he told me? He told me these words I will never forget till this very day. No use. The more you try to drive them away, another measure will come in, even worse than that. They may be my evil advisors, but they do me good. They help me with my endurance, my perseverance. It is depending origination, dependent origination. We talk about Yen Si Jing Gong Tui Man, the dependent origination and the emptiness. It's because of the form of endurance that makes you grow up, makes you able to acclimatize to every situation. And this, by not giving yourself the way to hatred, by having the hatred increase in you, you grow. And with a bit of wisdom in added. Do you understand? Okay, so in this way, okay, we talk about this, we talk about this karmic effect about many lifetimes. So when you meet your evil advisors, do not hate them. Just pretend that they're not there. No, when you pretend that they are not there, you're not giving rise yourself to any hatred, right? So if you pretend that they are not there, you don't even want to know that they exist. You will not, your speech and mind will not develop any hatred for this person. You just treat that person as being invisible. Am I right to say that? So in that case, even though there's dislike in you, you will not cultivate into something unwholesome. They are there. They are there to test you. So take it as a test. So they always say, what kind of thing nourish your body? Being at a loss nourish your body the most. So it's good to be on the losing side or on a losing battle rather than to gain an absence. Who doesn't want? Am I right to say that? Right? So this is especially important. Okay, the Yopo Jie Jing, the Upasaka Sila Sutra, saying that if your afflictions are light, then the karmic manifestation will be light. So if your karmic action is heavy, then it will be heavy. It goes through, that's what I'm telling you right now. So in this case, do not always think, okay, don't be like me, you know, that we hope that they are not there anymore. They will disappear. So if they disappear, you will disappear. In the end, you will disappear from there. Even though you will stay, you won't. All right? You just disappear. So whenever we come to a place, we saw them, it's just that either you see all these ridiculous people, either you just retreat and go other places and don't clash on with them. That would be the best. Then you will not have those kind of karmic manifestation will be heavy. Because you can't get rid of them, you just leave. Simple, right? Then what for? You go there and show your power, show your ability, no need. Right? But I don't know, what about the working world? The working world, I'm not sure whether should you do that. All right? There will be bosses who can't actually see eye to eye to you, just find that you are irritating. Initially, you're very, very nice, but I don't know how later the eyes do. The eyes or the body and mind just find that you are irritating and just pick on you. So instead of, you can't take it, just retreat. And the gift of the gap is something that is very difficult to upkeep. You will just say that anything that the other parties are. Other parties are in the wrong, only you're in the right. This is common. This is not wrong, but it is wrong. All right? Just see that where you have gone wrong, reflect on it. Hey, yeah, it's good at saying other party in the wrong because you elevate yourself and get yourself out of this dilemma. And you're a better person when you see them next time, you can deal with them effectively. If not, it is pretty funny. You will still have to fight with them. So we talk about, then after we have to talk about the developing of the bodhicitta in us, the spacing, putti singh in us. So putti singh will be, need to do more wholesome action, the more benefits that you will derive. So there is one called zhen shang yi le, called the increasing happiness. So we hope that all sentient beings, talk about that. How to hope sentient beings free from suffering? All of you here has no animosity with me. So I hope that you will be free from sufferings. So before I wish that, that point of time, I just hope that, okay, this thing will be manifest many times. Okay, that you all will really be free. How about those people that you don't like? How you do it? Can you do it? Can you manifest? Can you actually visualize and contemplate that your enemies, those faces that you don't like, will be free of suffering? Can you do that? For me, I can do that to all of you because I have no animosity with you. But Ricky, you one day in front of everybody, you try to humiliate me. All right. The next time I see you, I don't know how to develop the so-called compassion and the living kindness that you will be free from suffering. Am I right? Now you can or not? For now, because you know that they are all your friends, so it's okay. You don't know them, so they're all. But what if your enemies are here? Can you do it? Now sitting here, listening to you, can you do it? I suppose you can't do it. So that is why you must have the faith, then after the understanding and the action that goes into it. If you don't have how you do it, then how you treat. Hey, the Buddhism itself is to how to, you know, benefit the sentient beings and how to model your mind to the highest level. It is not about you like or you don't like. It's not about whether you detest a person, you hope that he's not having this kind of blessings from you. It is that even if he's an enemy, you must wish that he's right. I must tell you, frankly speaking, people I don't like, or I don't see face to face, I may not extend so much of a blessing to that person. I must tell you frankly, all right? It is a desire for all sentient beings to be free from suffering and generate more Dharma happiness for them. For people I don't like, I can't. But over the times, okay, when I was became a monk, for those who antagonized me, I will not talk to them, I will not even see them. But whenever I see them, I will develop a hatred. So I was contemplating at that point of time, during my darkest moment of life, don't think that being a holy Sangha, you will enjoy the fruit of success all the time. I think Catherine, you know, right? Huh? Catherine knows, I think she knows what I'm talking about. Not because she's a Sangha. All right? That darkness of mind will melt any animosity that you have for your enemies and you wish them well. You must always remember at the point of time, your darkest and darkest moment where you're so helpless that you cannot help yourself, you must remember that feeling that you will, how you feel for your enemies. Nothing matters. Your enemies, let them be happy as well. It's because the reason that you cannot forgive your so-called your enemies is that you have not reached the abyss of your life yet. A-B-Y-S-S. You have not seen the suffering that is so excruciating and how to extricate yourself from it. Then how can you still hate your enemies? To them, oh, how nice if I'm friend with my enemies. How nice I'm friend. Right, Justin? Yeah, Justin, I agree. All right? So, and at the same time, you must bring forth the bodhicitta, the willingness to bear the burden. The burden of what? That all sentient beings are free from suffering. It's only at the darkest moment of life. At this moment, we can't. So if you do not have the darkest moment of life and you do not treat it as a lesson, then it's very difficult that you're willing to bear the brunt or the burden of your enemies. Talking about you is okay. Oh yeah, talk about to bear the burden of all sentience free from suffering is never an easy task. Alright? If you were to make this vow, just this vow of getting that your enemies itself, okay, that all sentient beings you bear their so-called their suffering, you may not know how his life is like. I don't know, did I tell my student many times ago, a few times ago, that, you know, at one time when I was bringing forth the bodhicitta, when I was bringing forth, I hope to shoulder the burden of all sentient beings. So the very moment after that, I fell sick. And I just slept and I just dreamt that I felt that a period of time, I just feel that I am going to so-called die, but not die yet. I feel that I fall to the abyss itself. And it is so, you're feeling so, you don't know what to do. It's like when you're falling from a high, from a high place down all the way to the ground, and the ground seems to be endless. You know what I mean? All right. So when you do that, right, it's good. But at the same time, it tells you, you know, how suffering itself, how the sentence bring us suffering, we may not know. By that point of time, you know, oh, suffering is really pretty depressing, pretty terrifying, or it's very terrifying. So must bring forth the bodhicitta. Then after that, doing things for all, sentience being and one willingness will give rise to a joyful heart. This is what we call increasing happiness. Like when you see the Holy Sangha together, Zhuangguang Fasi, Saran Fasi, Lingrong Fasi, myself, we gather once for lunch, okay, are rejoicing in that. That such thing will be eternal, but nothing is eternal. But eternal that the act of giving Dharma to sentient beings enrich their life, be a nectar for their life.